Welcome back to another week of the A&B Podcast. It's your boy, Young Tamarack, and we got the window open, so you know it's drafty. I'm here with some good people because my people is never not good. Let them know what it is, Stair.
Yo, what up? It's your boy, Stair, a.k.a. the Finesse Fella, a.k.a. Papa Stair, a.k.a. the big homie, Body Stairs. And since we back here potting, let's get it started, you know what I'm saying?
We got a
MoCo GOAT here, so like I'm super excited for this episode. Super excited.
For sure. And without further ado, let's introduce our guests. We got the homie Mitchell Pollard in the building, a.k.a. Mogul Mitch. Let him know what it is, man. How you feeling?
I'm feeling great, man. Just glad to be on. Appreciate you guys having me on here, man.
Oh, for sure. And I want you to know something. Anybody who has a bookcase behind them when they do any Skyping or any type of interviews, you know that they lit, like, off top. Like, they like, on some different level, next level type-ish. So, shout out to Mitch with the great background. I need to get a bookcase myself so people know that I be reading. So,
for sure. You
know. Yeah. They're all kids' books, so it's like, I can't flex like that. It's like Dr. Seuss and, like, Chicka Chicka Boom Boom, stuff like that. So, like, I can't.
Damn, yeah, you gotta expand that collection, Brody. You got to. You can borrow my Malcolm X book for a little bit.
All right, bet. Just for the flicks. Just for the flicks.
For sure. Yeah, but
got that joint in my in the bookshelf. It's a powerful one right there.
Oh yeah, I know it. I can tell it's an extensive collection you got over there, man. Like, there's books that are leaning this way, books that's leaning this way. So like, it's going down. Where did that music just come from?
That was me. I do apologize.
Oh, no, you're good. You're good. I was just wondering what it was. But like I was saying, man, I'm here with some good people because our people are never not good. So, I mean, as always, before we start an episode, we check in with everybody to see how everybody's been. Mitchell, so since you're our guest today, what's been going on with you, I guess, recently as of late?
I would say sometimes people be like, not much. Not much and a whole lot at the same time. Busy but not overwhelmed. I'm not sure if y'all know, but the real estate market is
crazy.
Right? Yeah. So there's a ton of buyers out. The market is extremely competitive. So busy with that. You know, I got a settlement tomorrow morning. So just getting ready for that, making sure everything is right with that. Staying active, working with my team. You know, we got a couple of listings coming up as well. So I'm staying busy with real estate. I'm doing some ministry work as well. So I got to work with the youth ministry. So tonight we got a call actually right after this to prepare for Sunday.
Are you busy?
Yeah, with that as well. And then, staying in the gym. I'm the fit realtor. So, we got to stay active myself as well. So that's what I got on my plate right now.
Oh, respect. Alistair, what about you, man? What's been shaking?
Man, since the last time we potted, a lot. I'm not even gonna lie. I was in the hospital for a little bit.
I saw that on your story. Back,
hit 100,000 miles finally. Kind of, that's an achievement. What else? What up? Football started. Glad to be gridiron. You know, we 0-2 right now, but you know, I've been putting the team on my back every week. It's just I ain't got nobody to play with me right now, so I don't know what it is. Bryce for getting his cleats. He's not prepared for the game. I don't know what to do, man. I don't know what to do. What else? And just getting ready, trying to get ready for this move, trying to get our papers finalized, me and Kayla, and in the process of planning, like, a family vacation with, like, a family reunion vacation type thing. So, like, I got a lot of things going on and a lot of, like, you know, different directions that I'm looking, as well as I just started coaching at Blake. Super excited about that.
You coach basketball?
Nah, track.
Okay.
Track and field, man. The one and true love. And yeah, so I'm just all over the place, excited, and just happy to be busy and be outside again, like not being trapped in the house.
Yeah, no, I definitely feel that. I'm with you. But off top, I'm going to address that slander that you just threw my way in terms of me forgetting my cleats. Yeah, okay, I forgot my cleats, but I definitely had a pick in the game without cleats. So, I mean, you know, if I had my cleats, yeah, it would have been better. But, like, you know, I did what I could. You know what I mean? I made some plays. But other than that, man, my week, you know, my week been chill, bro. I'll be doing the same thing. Just work, hooped a little bit, man. And somebody asked me if I had been in the lab because I was getting buckets. That's how I knew I was getting buckets. Somebody was like, yo, you been in the lab? And I was like, nah, I'm just nice. So... Yeah, it was crazy. Nah, it was fluke though. You know, I can't shoot, and I was hitting like tray balls. So
I know.
Yeah, man. All in all, man, just a pretty solid week, man. Looking forward to, you know, the state continuing to open up, you know, and we get to get back to some sense of normalcy, and you know, everybody can stop complaining about being locked up in the house. So yeah, that's pretty much what I've been on.
All right. Mm-hmm.
But Alistair, you said you had a question earlier that you wanted to pose to the group.
I do. Recently, Governor Hogan basically said, yo, Maryland, I think we did enough of a good job. I think enough people have been vaccinated. I'm going to drop the mask mandate. So with that being dropped, that kind of means that more people are going to be popping up outside more regularly with no mask on at all. So as three young African-American males that are going to be outside again, how do we feel about that?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and jump in.
Go first.
Yeah, personally, I've been active. I've been in the gym like the last few months, and they heavy on the, you know, even if you just drop the mask, they like pressing you out. And I ain't gonna lie, I'll be in there working. So like my drink always be down here. You know, I'll be hooping a little bit too. So it's hard if you actually like playing and you keep your mask up. So I'm a little excited. I'm kind of excited that they're taking the mask mandate away and the vaccine is going to roll out. So I'm hoping that is the right decision, keeping everybody safe for sure. But I'm excited to get the mask finally off.
Are you pro-vax or anti-vax?
I don't got it. I won't say I'm anti. I don't have it. I just want to wait a little bit to see. People start, you know, tripping off it because, like, you heard the Johnson and Johnson. Yeah. And I was going to get that one because I didn't want the two shots. I was like, I'm just going to get the Johnson and Johnson. And then, you know, they said that was causing blood clots or was having complications. So I just want to wait a little bit, you know, let me make sure everything's cool. And then I don't mind getting it because I definitely want to do some traveling. And I think they're going to try to mandate that for traveling.
Yeah, no, I definitely feel that.
Who is vaxxed? Like, both two shots, straight Pfizer gang. I'm super excited. I went to go get the vaccine just for this, to be like, yo, if I need to be like no mask, I can do that freely and willingly. And I mean, I'm not going to say with no repercussions, because they still say you can catch COVID even if you have a vaccine, which is bullshit, but you know. But I'm happy. I'm happy that outside's opening back up. Like, with coaching at Blake, seeing all the kids struggle to run their laps with their mask on, like, I know that's tough. And a lot of things and a lot of situations that have been affected by it, it's like, they don't even have a prom this year. I was like, damn, y'all got a prom? And, like, all the, like, damn. These kids' senior year, ruined. So it's like, dang. So I'm glad that we're pushing towards normalcy. I will say that.
So what I will say is just one quick thing. In terms of you saying that it doesn't prevent you from being able to get it and you saying that's BS, not necessarily, bro, because at the end of the day, it's a vaccine, right? And just like if you take a flu shot, you can still get the flu even if you take a flu vaccine. So I feel like we all have this idea of COVID that it's like this whole separate outside entity. And then like now that there's a vaccine, everybody can like not get COVID. I don't know why we think that way, but you can still, I mean, yeah, like with any other vaccine, you can still definitely contract the virus or the disease. Even if you are vaxxed. I think it's just, again, it's a precaution to limit the spread of it and try to eradicate the virus in general from being something that can kind of spread through the population. But in terms of, you know, the vaccine, I feel like I've always been somebody who's pro, you know, getting the vaccine and getting your shot. But I will say, like, I feel like every day there's new information that I learn or I hear, and I'm just like, man, like, I haven't gotten COVID, like, I haven't been sick. I'm sure there's been times where I've been like around like COVID and I haven't managed to get it. So I'm like, do I really need to, do I got to rush to take the shot? You know what I mean? So, and I have been waiting for the state of Maryland to like hit me, because it's just like a system that, you know, you put your information in and then they message you back, let you know, hey, you know, set up your appointment. I got the message today and I'm kind of just like, I don't know. I can go either way. You know, I'm waffling right now. Part of me is like, man, let me just go ahead and do it. But then part of me is like, what if it's just like the flu shot and it's a seasonal thing that, like, you know, you don't always, you just get maybe when the time comes.
I think that's what it's going to be. They say it's going to be like a booster you get every year.
Right. So I'm back to being mixed on it. I was, but I would say I'm 60-40 leaning towards taking the vaccine though.
I'll tell you this, for me personally, and I don't know if it was because like my body was weak from playing football the day before, but when I got my second shot, like I was completely tapped out. So those side effects are real. And the way I was perceiving it is, if this is anything of what someone who actually had COVID had to go through, like I'm super confident that, and happy that I did take
that. Went through that. Well, okay, so I'm sorry. Let me throw another wrench in that though. COVID affects everybody a little differently. So like you may get it, and you may just get the sniffles, bro. And it may not be that bad for you. And that's the thing that made this whole ordeal so difficult to deal with, because there's people who are like, well, I got COVID. I didn't really get that sick. It's not that big of a deal. Then there's people on the other end of the spectrum who literally lost multiple family members to having COVID. So it's like, you can see why people feel the way that they feel, and everybody feel a little bit different about, you know, dealing with the disease and, you know, wearing your mask or not wearing your mask. There's people out there who believe COVID is a complete hoax. You know what I mean? So it's interesting. That's the best thing I can say about it for sure.
True.
Oh, Mitch, I think you're on mute. I don't know if you meant to go on mute on purpose.
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, bet. But yeah, man, I think that it's good for the state to be opening up, like I said, to get back to a sense of normalcy. But to kind of move forward from there, like we said in the beginning of the episode, we have kind of a Moco legend of sorts in the building with us. He said, "Nah, get out of here." Nah, he is though, man. Like you said, Mitchell, you're originally from Brooklyn, right? And you ended up coming to Maryland in about seventh grade, and you found yourself at Briggs Cheney Middle School. And I was talking to Alistair earlier, and he told me the thing that he remembered about you was that you like ran on the track team they had for Briggs Cheney, and you were a part of like the relay team with like some of the fastest dudes that I remember from like school. So like from Jump Street, you've kind of been like a little bit of like an athlete above like, you know, some of like the other like regular like stragglers. I guess start us with like the beginnings of some of like your athletic journey, all the way dating back to like Briggs Cheney.
Yeah, for sure. I've always been an athlete, like even in New York. I was a basketball player when I first came out here, because in New York, they don't really play football like that.
Yeah.
So when I came out here, I was just like a hooper for real. And, we would go to gym class in Briggs Cheney, and everybody was trying to get me to play football because they knew I was fast. And I was like, man, football is whack for real. Like, I need to come on the court.
Wow.
Finally, like, they finally got me to come out there. And then, I was cooking for real. And I was like, all right, maybe football might be for me. And a lot of my boys kept telling me, like, yeah, but when we get the pads on, it's going to be different. You ain't going to play that. Like, when you get the pads on. And I wanted to play my eighth grade year, but unfortunately, I couldn't have to watch my sister. Growing up with my mom, it was just me, my mom, my sister. So I was tight with my mom, you know what I'm saying? And in the midst of that, I was, like, getting in trouble because I wasn't playing the sports. I was coming home and just, like, getting into a bunch of nonsense. Like, I grew up on a boulevard, too, on Castle Boulevard. So,
yeah.
That'll do it.
Yeah, just getting into a bunch of nonsense, just doing just the wrong stuff. And fortunately, ninth grade year rolled around, and I was able to get on the football team. And
Hold on. I'm sorry. I got to pause the story for a second. So your first year playing padded football was in ninth grade?
Ninth grade, dog. It
was in ninth grade. Wow. Okay. Continue the story.
That was my first year playing. And, yeah, I was like my first game. I ended up – that was like a terrible – it was like my worst game ever. I got trucked. Like, I was out there, like, not doing well. And then I questioned myself, like, that first game. Like, we played Sherwood, too.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Mogo has – we played Sherwood. Got trucked. We got blown out. And then, like, that was one of the moments in life where I was like, dang, maybe it's not for me. And obviously, I kept playing, stuck with it. Next game, I didn't even play Northwood, and I scored that game. Then it was like, you know what? I'm going to just stick with this. You know, that was my first touchdown ever in life. And I was watching
football. Yeah.
I always knew what it was like to, like, when you score a touchdown, everybody get hyped. But to, like, my first touchdown, I was just like, dang, like, this feels good. And then that was kind of all she wrote from there. That was, like, you know, I fell in love with it after that.
Also, at Springbrook, just because, like, you know, I'm a track head. Like, so any track star, anybody who pops up on a track and field, like, I'm a no, especially Moco. Mitchell is, like, really, really humble because, like, I don't know if you know this, Bryce, but he's the fastest 55 dash runner in Springbrook history. Did you know
that? Damn.
I didn't even know that for real, to be honest.
I'm not gonna say you didn't take track serious, but like you didn't compete your senior year. So it's like you were like, all right, I'm gonna run, and then it's like, all right, I'm gonna retire. Like I'm cool. So like I feel like you had the opportunity to even go even further in track, but like you know we can continue with this football journey because
no, that's dope because track really like kind of really got me into football when I seen that speed just correlated so much to football. Because you know what I'm saying? You can be fast in basketball. That don't really mean nothing. But even going back to Briggs Chaney, I don't know if you remember Mike Natoli.
Yeah, actually. That's crazy.
That's my dog, right? So seventh grade year in the track challenge, we had a race off to see who was going to represent Briggs Chaney to be like the runner. And Mike Natoli beat me that in my seventh grade year. And when I say that, Drain, like, it didn't hurt me, but I was just like, I was tight. So, like, literally, like, every day my mom would tell me to take out the trash. I'll take out the trash and, like, I'll do a sprint. Like, I'll sprint, like, I want to say, like, 80 yards. Like, I'll take out the trash and I'll sprint back home to the crib. And I did that, like, literally, bro, like, every single day. You know what I'm saying? And in my mind, I was like, I'm not losing to Mike next year. You know what I'm saying? Mike, he played football, too. He was going to the council. So I was just like, dang, like, he played football. He already playing. I ain't playing yet. He beat me. And that just kind of fueled me. And then we did the eighth grade track challenge. I ended up winning the 100 meter. And then we won the 4x1. That kind of just like, I always just use like little things like that to just kind of fuel me to just be a little bit better.
Damn. I got Neville Hewitt, who played in the NFL, was on that jump. Yeah.
Who was?
Neville.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, that's...
I rode the bus to the track challenge. I think it was at Magruder or something like that. Uh-huh. And it was Jordan Coleman, Neville, and me as like seventh grader, and Chinny as like seventh graders. And then majority of the rest of the bus was eighth graders. So it was like, dang, I got the long jump. And then I remember Jordan tried to shit on me. He was like, yeah, the only reason you long jump because they made me do the relay. I was like, hey, man, I'm here, dog. It's all good.
Nah, that's not an experience I could have. I was one of those kids when we ran the mile. I was like, I was dying. I didn't know how to run. Like, I would run out the gate real fast, and then I realized it was so much longer, and then it was just a wrap for me after that. But I got to ask you, though, I mean, considering that, you know, you went to Springbrook, and we went to Blake, and we all know the thing about Blake is the football program was – but like, what was the experience like playing at Springbrook? Did you enjoy playing at Springbrook? Did you ever think about going to another school to like team up with like some of the other good talents in MoCo?
It was always kind of, every offseason was always conversations like that. Like dudes always saying like, you got to transfer, this, that, and the third. But coming out of after my freshman year, had a decent year. And my biggest thing was just to get on varsity. Cause I seen that was like the path to go to college, get a scholarship. And really my mind was, I want to go to the league. So I wanted to get on varsity as soon as possible. So after my freshman year, I was just in the coach's ear, like, yo, what I got to do to get on varsity? He was like, yo, just chill. Like,
yeah,
you're going to have passing league. If you ball out in passing league, then you're on varsity. So that was really my main focus, was coming out of ninth grade, was just getting on varsity. And then once I got there, my sophomore year, we didn't do too great. It was 5-5. But being a sophomore, I knew I had that extra year. And then a lot of the dudes that was coming up, I was excited about because I played with them. So I knew like my KB was on that squad. My boy Chris Tobert, Raymond Vernette. And he was a Seventh-day Adventist too. And he couldn't play. He couldn't play in games.
Because of Friday.
So I knew like, dang, we got a squad coming up my junior year.
Damn.
And then also my quarterback, Phoenix Butler Poole. And that's like my dog for real.
Yeah.
I knew like playing with him, and he was really the best quarterback in the consortium. So I was never trying to leave Springbrook to go play with anybody else. So once we really connected, we did some damage my junior year. And then after that, it was obvious I wasn't going nowhere. I started getting looks at college. So that kind of just cemented it.
Damn. Yeah, nah, we had at Blake, we had what? My cousin KB. Other than that though, like, that was it, bro. We, like you said, y'all had the best quarterback in the consortium.
I didn't, because it was crazy. I was at track practice the other day, and like a lot of the football guys are on the team. because the head coach is like one of the assistant coaches, and they're rapping like, "Yo, I gotta go get the record. I gotta go get the record." I was like, "Yo, who has the record?" Some guy from like 09 or something like that. I was like, "Oh, you mean KB?" I was like, "Y'all not catching that." I don't know if y'all can get the opportunity that he had to get like 30 carries a game. So good luck.
Nah.
Oh man, we used to not no disrespect to anybody else in the squad, but it was literally like we stopped number 9. We gonna be good. We was playing big guys in the box. We gonna play man on the outside, and we just make sure number 9 don't get loose. Now he was the game plan. Mm.
Yeah, which is hilarious.
He was trying to get Quad to become a Springbrook, like a few. Like
that's my thing. I'm surprised he didn't leave. But I mean, when you get the ball every play, damn near, it's like, where else I'm gonna go? But realistically, if you would have went to like either like a Paint Branch or even a Springbrook, y'all could have made like a push in the playoffs and probably like really like got close to doing something really big. So I mean, it's tough in Maryland because you got to deal with like your Sherwoods, you got to deal with your Quince Orchards. Damascus, some of those schools. So, but all in all, man, I like I said, from watching like games and like looking at like Springbrook play, I was always like, man, Springbrook, yeah, they kind of nice. I don't know what's the point of Blake playing Springbrook. What's the point of us being in the consortium? Because we kind of trash, but nonetheless. But so like you made your way up to varsity. And kudos to you for even like being a young cat and like having that mindset of being like, yo, like I gotta push and I gotta grind. And you doing the 80-yard sprints, all impressive, because I wouldn't have had like that mental to be on any of that type of stuff. But you grinded up, you got to varsity. What was it like when you started getting some of those like those college looks and college letters?
Honestly, it was just surreal, you know what I'm saying, to just like think about it and like dream about it and like be online, be on Rivals all day and like seeing dudes getting looks, and then like you just like anxious to like be out there and to get those looks. I think the sophomore year, I went to a bunch of camps and did some combines and things like that, and did decent. To like have like coaches like really calling you, it was just surreal. Dang, I can't really believe this is happening for real. You know what I'm saying? I think in my year, we had my sophomore year, Darius Hill. He was getting looks from Towson, so seeing like the coaches coming up to talk to him, it just made it real for me. Like, damn, like if I ball out, you know what I'm saying? This could be me. So when it actually happened, I'm just like, just kind of like the power of your thoughts. You know what I'm saying? Like you think about it and you really like follow it up with action, it can manifest. So that was just kind of the beginning stages of that process.
What was the biggest look you got?
Definitely Maryland. Ooh. Honestly, I had a verbal offer from Maryland, and that was like the fact that they didn't offer me, it was like a surprise to everybody in my camp, my mom, my coaches. My teammates, like I was up at Maryland like every week for real. You know what I'm saying? Private workouts with them. My guy Travis Hawkins was up there. He was politicking for me to get me in there. They was pretty much like, we got the verbal offer. We just got to get the paperwork. And when it came down to, I think a guy might have decommitted from like a bigger school, like SEC school, and then like said he was going to Maryland, and that kind of got me out of the fold. So
yeah,
definitely the biggest I got.
That's Maryland. Maryland, I don't know, man. Maryland misses out on a lot of in-state talent, man. I don't know what's up with that. I feel like if you compile a team of all the best, like, athletes from across this state, like, you could put together, like, a championship program. But I don't know, man. Dudes be leaving, and I guess because of stuff like that. So shame on you, Maryland. If you're anybody from the athletic team or whatever, if anybody listening, man, shame on y'all for passing on Mitchell Pollard.
I got a little bit of payback. I guess we can share that as we continue the story, though.
Yeah, so to continue, the biggest look you got was from Maryland, but then after that, I'm sure, like you said, a lot of other schools were interested in courting you, and you ended up going to, and if I'm not mistaken, definitely correct me, you ended up going to Monmouth, right?
Yeah, it's a Monmouth.
How did you arrive at Monmouth? Is it because it's in Jersey and it's close to, like, New York, and you was trying to get back to you, or?
Honestly, yeah, that was my mind frame. I had several D1AA looks all up the coast, but Monmouth was in between New York and Maryland. So I figured I could have my family in New York come and see my family in Maryland come and see me as well. So that was a big factor in me going to Monmouth. But coming out there, and a couple of guys that was up there when I went on my visit, my boy Kendall Haley, he's actually a realtor now too, my guy. He was up there. He went to Good Counsel and he was up there. And I believe he was like going into his senior year. So he was like the guy out there.
Yeah.
He courted me around on my visit. And just cool dude. Show me around. Show me the party. Show me what the campus was like. And that kind of like just cemented my decision to go to Mama.
Go ahead, Al. Sorry, my bad.
No, I was just saying, Mama's is a nice campus. So like, because I mean, once again, I ran track at LIU. So like, came for conference.
Yeah. You
see like all the facilities, and we didn't have no facilities in New York. So it's like, damn.
Yeah, ain't no space.
This is nice as hell. So like I can only imagine going to the school with an indoor and an outdoor track and like, you know, field hockey and a football. It's like, so I bet you it's real nice and cushy.
I gotta ask though, what was the that transition like for you? Because I mean, again, you're coming from being a guy who first time putting on pads is in ninth grade, so I'm sure you experienced, you know, maybe a little bit of adversity or some struggles along the way of like transitioning. So like, once you got to Monmouth, was it like full steam ahead? Did you have to like work around some dudes on the roster, or what was that like?
Absolutely, man. I was full steam ahead. I think going into that year, I was just like big on like the whole recruiting process and who else was coming in, just to see who I was going to be competing against. And they had this radio show called like Monmouth Hawks or something like that. It was like a little radio show, and I used to tap into the joint. And there was one dude who ended up being my homie. His name Jesse. He's a running back, and he was on that journey like, yeah, I've been running 5 miles a day. I'm trying to come in and be a starter. And I was like, oh, you run 5 miles a day? Well, hell no, I'm out here. So I'm outside pushing me. So when I got on campus, it was dope, man. It was dope. Like I said, again, it was just one of those moments. It was just like, I can't believe like this is actually happening. Like, I'm on full scholarship here to play ball. And yeah, freshman year, I came in, made some enemies in a good way, because I was out there, you know, with a chip on my shoulder, like playing hard. End up getting into like a fight with one of the senior cornerbacks because I was out there cooking him, talking trash. So he came to my dorm room and was like, what's up with all that trash? He's talking. That's my guy now too, Mike Aven. He's from out here. He's from PG, I want to say. So me and him ended up squabbling in the dorm rooms. Just worked my way, played as a true freshman. Didn't start.
Nice.
That was another chip on my shoulder, and just worked my way. And sophomore year ended up starting. So that was another one of those things that, you know, think of, you put it into your mind and you work for it and it happened.
Damn. That's what's up, man.
That KB was transferring in. How'd you feel?
I want to say I was, I wasn't the reason why that happened, but I definitely took part in that whole coordination. You know, I know he was at West Virginia, and I'm like, yo, dog, I'm out here, I'm playing. And I'm looking at these running backs, like, these dudes is not as good as you. I played against Quad 4 years. So I know the type of player he is, the type of work ethic he brings. So seeing the kind of guys they had out there, I was like, bro, you got to come out here. You know what I'm saying? Like, even if you're not on scholarship, like, you'll earn it. Like, I know the kind of player you are. And like I said, I don't want to say it was because of me, but we definitely had conversations within that transition. And when he came, I was hyped. I was like, I was the one like bigging him up, like, wait till my guy get out here. Like,
yeah.
It took a while for him to like actually like see it, but he ended up doing his thing out there, man.
So what was it like though, man? Like the atmosphere. Cause I mean, coming from playing, you know, your local high school football games, and you at Monmouth now, and I'm sure they got a decent fan base as well out there. Like, what was that atmosphere? Like, how did that feel for you?
It was dope, bro. It was dope. You know what I'm saying? Going from playing at Springbrook and in the county to playing in front of, you know, tens of thousands of people. It was lit. One of our, and here's the where I kind of got back at Maryland a little bit. I don't want to say like the biggest game in Monmouth history was, we was going up to play Villanova. And this is like, I want to say the year after they won the national championship. So like week two or three for us. So we going in like heavy underdogs. And this is the most people anybody that my team has ever played against, because they got like the biggest stadium. Like, we were D1AA, so yeah. We didn't have as many people as Villanova. And I want to say they were D1AA too, but they were on like more national scale.
Yeah.
We out there and we playing like the biggest stadium we ever played in. And defensive coordinator that year for Villanova was my recruiting coordinator, who was at Maryland.
Oh.
So he was coming to my games. He was like the main point of contact, pretty much like telling me and my family, like, yo, you're going to be at Maryland next year. Salazzo, So
coming, you remember the name.
I found when we started playing, like we started doing the research, I'm like, oh, he's the defensive coordinator, like not the DB coach, like he's running the whole defense. We end up, so we end up, long story short, we end up winning that game. You know what I'm saying? And their game plan was to play man coverage on our receivers on the outside. I end up being a player to game that game. I want to say like 8 catches, 120 yards or so, something like that. And I seen him after the game. He was trying to avoid me. I made sure I got and it was all levels, respect, just competition, just like in a, you know, a competitive way. But that was definitely a chip on my shoulder. Like, hey, I had to do that to you. And he was like, hey, I respect it. So that was a dope moment. And, that happened to be our biggest game, in Monmouth history at the time. I know they changed conferences, now, but at that time, that was like a big deal for Monmouth.
What year were you when this game happened?
I graduated spring of 2010, so I want to say 2011, the fall of 2011 of my sophomore year.
Oh damn! So like pretty soon after that happened, damn, that's what's up. So it sounds like things are going pretty well at Monmouth, if I'm not mistaken. But based on the information that I've been provided, at a certain point you left Monmouth actually and transferred to Shepherd.
Yeah. So we had some So we had some new coaches come in, or not the head coach, but some positional coaches come in, and we needed some DB, so they ended up changing my position to defensive back to corner. Wasn't the best decision. I wasn't happy about it. I could have responded differently. But to say I was unhappy about it is an understatement. And thinking about I'm starting receiver, I'm one of the top receivers in the conference. So to change my position, I'm a happy camper about that. I was a punt returner as well. Punt returner coming in, I was on the All-American watch list to be a punt returner. And due to coaching changes, I wasn't the starting punt returner during the season. So, you know, when you talk to some of my teammates, everybody's like, yo, this is crazy, bro. Like, what's going on? And I don't really know what that was about. You know, it may have been just like, well, we want to just, you know, test you real quick and see how you respond. But the second week of the season, I ended up like having like some untimely injuries. I had like hamstring injury, came back, had an ankle injury. And then, seeing that they was going to keep me at cornerback, it was like, yo, I'm not trying to play corner. I got one more season to play. I want to be that receiver and have my best shot at the next level. That was my mind frame. So I ended up transferring to Shepherd. And I wanted to transfer to another school, but you had to sit out. And in my mind, I was like, I had this momentum. Let me just go somewhere I can play ASAP.
Yeah. Well,
that's kind of how it worked out. Looking back, I probably would have just stayed and just you know, thugged it out and just see how I played. But just because of how everything timed out, with me being at the starting receiver my sophomore year, balling out, going to the next season, changing my position, it just didn't make sense to me. So I was like, you know, I'm going to go somewhere else.
That's kind of crazy, though, man. Like, I mean, I guess maybe they saw you as like an athlete who could really like you could play either way or on either side of the ball. But, man, I can imagine being in that situation. Like you said, you have been playing pretty well. You've been balling. So for them to be like, well, we need defensive backs. I guess all of a sudden that becomes a priority for the team. So, like, we'll dedicate whatever resources we need to that. I don't know. It just seems a little weird to me. But I feel you. I would have made that move, too.
Hindsight. Really, it didn't even matter, to be honest. Like, as far as going to the next level, that's just something else you can say. Like, I started at receiver and started at DB. So in hindsight, with obviously hindsight is 2020.
Yes.
Just with the wisdom that I have now on that situation, it's just like, it really didn't even matter, to be honest. You know what I mean? Like, when you do your pro day or you do your workouts for the team, that's really what counts. You know what I'm saying? If you got enough film to back up what you do at the pro day, that's what really counts.
Crazy. Damn. I mean, even now, like the whole, I think they just like basically eliminated the transfer rule where like it's like free agency now. You should be like, yo, I'm out. I want to go somewhere. So like,
why should you have to wait a year, man?
Yeah, yeah.
That make no sense.
I could dumb NCAA rules because even when I was in track, like I got into like a little ish. I got into a few kerfuffles at LIU, and I was kerfuffle. Like, out, man. I ain't gonna be here no more. No, I'm out. And then, like, as I'm getting explained to, it's like, yeah, once you ask your release, you're not coming back. One, two, that's the only time you can actually officially start talking to schools. And it's like, and then on top of that, you have to It's like, me, I was redshirted my freshman year. I don't want to sit out another year. So, like, I guess I'm going to just stay. I'm going to swallow that, you know. It's all cool.
Pause. Yeah, definitely. To move on from there, though, how did that last season at Shepherd go for you, though? Was that, did you, I guess, get to ball out, I guess, how you felt like you could, or?
I think I did all right. We had won. It was a national championship team. I think that year we ended up going, it was one game away from the national championship. I was kind of moving around at different positions, and I don't think that, one, I don't think I did what I could have done. But again, you coming into a new system, getting acclimated to a new offense, new quarterback. At that point for me, it was just like, I'm just here to do what I can, get some film and then have a workout. And then after that season, I end up playing overseas. I played overseas in Spain, had a workout for a couple of teams. It didn't go how I wanted. So I went overseas, played in Spain, came back, worked out for a couple of teams. I worked out for the Ravens and didn't get picked up. Then I kind of felt that two seasons out, you know, you got two more classes coming in after me. It was like a moment of like a crossroads. Like, do I want to keep doing this? Do I want to keep pursuing? Am I going to go to Canada? You know, or am I going to pursue something else? And ultimately, I made the decision to pursue something else. And at that point, to be honest, it was like, it wasn't the game that I fell in love with at that point. Because you go to college, it's more like it's a business, kind of like how they change positions. Like, it's not about you. It's more about, like, you know, what we can do. You know what I'm saying? We'll be at corner, that's what we're going to do. And it kind of turned into a business instead of it being, you know, just out there having fun playing football. And, you know, I think the game, ultimately, I think the game treated me well. It's like, you learn so many in the game, you learn so many things. And then even going into business, you learn that sometimes it is business. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to, there's certain principles you got to carry out going into those venues. And the game treated me well. It came out, I didn't have any like major injuries. So that was another blessing coming out. Well, but you know, playing the game, learned a lot just about life and how to move forward.
Damn. And speaking of moving forward, kind of like we mentioned earlier in the episode, and we've kind of hinted at it a couple of times, you know, you are now a realtor, right? And you're in real estate. What pointed you in that direction?
To be honest, bro, just coming out of, after I came back from Spain, I had like a year where I was just like really on the fence about like, am I done pursue football? Am I not? It's kind of like back and forth. Like one week I'm like grinding, working hard. And then the next week I'm like, man, I need to get a job for real. I need to like make some money. And then, you know, I came to a point where it's like, look, I got to make a decision because if I'm not committed, I'm not fully committed, then it's definitely not going to happen. But then I decided I wanted to pursue business. And, you know, to be honest, all the way honest, this is when I didn't read a book. I might have read one book in college. But then I went online.
Same.
Yeah.
I thought you meant like actually reading books in general in your time of being in college. You're talking about real estate books, though.
I'm talking about period.
Okay, yeah, same. All right, cool. Continue.
A book. Like, I got all throughout high school and just kind of just finessed my way through. Not because I couldn't read, just because, you know, I just felt like, you know, I could get by. And then even throughout college, it was like I wasn't really taking my academics serious. So when I got out of college, I started to realize, like, yo, if I'm going to pursue business, like, you know, reading is something I'm going to really have to pick up on. And I went to the library, and the first book I picked up was a book on real estate investing. And that kind of just opened up my eyes to, and it was Rich Dad, Poor Dad. That kind of opened up my book. To what real estate can be, to what business is, what entrepreneurship is. And after just doing a little bit more research, a little more soul searching, I was like, maybe I should jump into real estate. I had a couple of mentors as well kind of tell me, like, when you should look into real estate, you got the personality for it. You know, you deal with people, it's something you can probably be successful at. And then after a couple of years of like really tussling with it, I finally just got into it. I read a book, it was the ABCs of Real Estate Investing. I read that book, and exactly what it told me to do in that book, like a couple of months later, I ended up closing my first wholesale deal for like $7,000. And I was like, all right, you know, I got the skills for this. If I can do that, just like reading one book in a couple of months, turning it over like that, let me just go with this and see if I can turn this into a career.
That's what's up.
What was the process of getting your real estate license like?
So I was actually doing real estate investing or wholesaling like a couple years before I got licensed. And I was working with, and this is by the grace of God, because I truly believe like God like guided me into the field I'm in right now. I just kept running into people that were just like looking out, you know what I'm saying? Just like, you know, you should do this. Or like even a guy that I sold that first wholesale deal to, he's a guy I randomly met at an auction. We just ended up kicking it off. He's like, yo, if you find something, just, you know, send it to me. I ended up finding something on Craigslist. I was like, I don't even know if this is a good deal, but I sent it to him. He was like, yo, this works. And I was like, all right, 10,000. He was like, I do 7. All right, cool. I ain't have it. I would have took 3,000.
Yeah.
long story short, that's still my guy. Like, he does inspections for me now. But I was working with this big time investor. He's like a black dude, multimillionaire. And I ran into his mom at an auction, and she was like, you should meet my son. Like, you guys are really like click. He's like an older dude, older gentleman, like 40 something. But me and him just like had good working energy. One day I was at his crib and I was just like, yo, if you were me, would you get licensed as a realtor? And he was thinking about it for a second. He was like, yeah, I would. And like literally like a couple of days after that, I went signed up for my stuff and got licensed.
Damn. Nah, that's what's up, man. Definitely a viable career option, like you said, especially right now because interest rates are super low and like people are buying houses sight unseen, which I think is the most ridiculous thing ever. But I mean, if you got it like that, you can do that.
My client's not doing that though.
Oh yeah. I mean, most people aren't, but I mean, like so I recently purchased, you know, a condo. And so going through like the process, there were times where like literally my real estate agent would tell me like, well, like, this place is off the market now. It was literally on for like 2 days and like it was gone. I'm like, dude, how can something be on the market for 2 days? Like, there's no way. Like, you literally go in, it's like, all right, boom, I want it. Let's go. Let's seal it up. So like, it was like, there's like a certain level of pressure, like, especially at this time right now. Like, you find a property, it's like, all right, I like it, but like, I didn't really like this. Well, you don't really got time to really waffle back and forth. You're trying to get the best deal possible right now. So definitely, I'm very interested in like the whole real estate thing because I think it's like super. It's just, there's so many layers to it. Like, you even talking about wholesaling, but what would you say is the top three things anybody who's looking to purchase a home should know?
The top three things that anybody purchasing a home should know.
Yeah.
One, you got to know like your budget. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people, like, they want to buy houses. They want to get into real estate. I talk to people all the time. They're like, yeah, I want to invest in real estate. I want to do this. You got to know like the kind of the finances that you're working with. And then even on the investment side, you got to know your numbers. I think one of the good things about me getting into real estate before I got licensed, I was working with like a lot of investors. When it comes to investments, it's not just you just buy a crib and you start making money. There's a lot of things that go into actually making money from real estate over time. So knowing your financial situation, your financial picture is like number one. I think that's like the biggest thing, really. Number two, I lost my train of thought.
I put you on the spot. Well, the first thing you said was knowing your budget in terms of the top three things that you should know as a potential home buyer getting ready to buy a home. Yeah. So you'd be on number two now. I don't know what would be your number two.
Yeah, I would say definitely you want to work with an experienced realtor, or you want to have a team, because realtor, you need a lender. Now, you just went through this process, so I'm sure you know. You got to have a lender, you need a realtor. And every realtor is not built the same. You know what I'm saying? Every realtor is not built the same. There's some realtors that's out here, they hungry, they're going to do what it takes to get the job done. They communicate well, they're available. Being a real estate agent is not just like doing the paperwork. And this market, it may seem like that, you just do the paperwork and you get it done. But there's a lot of things that go on behind the scene and a lot of nuances that it takes to actually close the deal and get the numbers that you're really looking for. Even after you go under contract, there's still ways that you can look out for your client. And then number three, I would say having like a long-term plan, because a lot of times people think you buy a house and like you're a homeowner, but really the bank owns that home 96.5%. You know what I'm saying? Just jumping in and saying like, I just want to own a home and like I'm a homeowner, like it sounds good. And like, you know, we clap and we celebrate at closing, but if you don't really have a long-term game plan of like, one, like how you going to manage the house, how you going to pay it off, and then looking forward to like investments in the future, then you're just going to be stuck with a bill. You know what I mean? So you definitely want to have a long-term game plan.
Nice. I like all those three pieces of advice. And I'm sorry, one last real estate. Well, not, I mean, I don't know if Alistair has any real estate questions, but Baltimore, Maryland, right? How do you feel about investing in Baltimore? Because, you know, for the longest time, and since for as long as I can remember, you go to Baltimore, there's a lot of these vacant properties. I mean, sure, a lot of them are like kind of like beat up and you might have to put some work in it. But investing in Baltimore, how do you feel about that?
I think it's a great idea. Honestly, a lot of my wholesale deals that first couple of years in real estate was out in Baltimore. So a ton of opportunity. There's a lot of areas where you can find it. You got to know Baltimore. You can't just go out, you know, just pick a spot and invest money, because it's a lot of you really don't want to be in.
Yeah.
There's also some areas that's rough right now, but if you understand Baltimore, then you know that they're developing. So I like Baltimore a lot. My plan is eventually to invest in some multifamily units in Baltimore, is where I have my eyes on first, because entry price is real low. So you can buy like a four unit, like, you know, $250,000, $300,000, $400,000.
Jesus.
With those numbers, talking about cash flow, like, you can really make some serious cash flow.
Cash, yeah. Man, okay. Yeah, that was my last real estate question, because I've always been curious about Baltimore. And I mean, I've like been in the city a couple of times, you know, looked around. I mean, it's a nice place. Like you said, I think development is coming, and I think you got to get in on the ground floor. I just feel like a lot of people are always kind of scared to get in on the ground floor or something, because it's the ground floor, literally. So
my dad tried to get in like a while back when I was in high school, I think. Like when the economy crashed, what year was that?
2008?
Yeah, 2008.
2008, my dad had we were fixing up a spot in Baltimore. I remember that. And it didn't end up too well because, you know, old economy crashed, market crashed, he lost his job. It was like, tough times in the McLean household. But it's definitely an experience that I remember. My question is, so you're a part of a team, RLAH. What made you join that real estate team?
Yeah, so the team is actually a Palmer Properties Group, and Real Living at Home is the brokerage. And what made me join the team was my guy, Rick Palmer. You know, we always talk about, you know, you can go fast alone, but you can go further together. And me and him, we've always been aligned. So like, we played in some basketball leagues together. And he got licensed, I want to say, maybe a year or two before me. And, you know, he kind of seen how I moved in real estate and like my hustle. And I always noticed his hustle as well. And we were just showing each other love just on social media. You know, we ended up having a couple meetings, and, you know, I aligned with his vision as far as like taking it further if we do this thing together. So after a few meetings, we decided like, yo, let's find a brokerage and let's just join together and just do this team thing. And we can go a lot further. And I joined the team, I want to say about a year ago now, almost a whole year. And, it's been great, man. It's been great. You can, especially in real estate, sometimes you think it's just about you just selling houses. But when you can pull your resources together when it comes to marketing, and you can pull your ideas together when it comes to getting information out there, or even vendors or people you're working with, it makes it a lot easier. You can streamline things a lot better as far as you doing anything by yourself. Mm-hmm. So yeah, Real Living at Home is a brokerage, and joined the team about a year ago.
Oh, that's what's up. Well, I mean, even in sitting and listening to you, you know, kind of get on your real estate soapbox, I can tell that you're a pretty solid agent. I'm sure that you take extreme care of all of your customers and people who have come through. I guess the last thing that I wanted to talk about, obviously, you're a football player. The NFL draft is coming up. I'm not sure if you have a favorite team. Do you have a favorite squad?
Yeah, I'm a Giants man. I'm from New York.
Okay. What do you want the Giants to do with their first round pick this year, man?
I mean, we obviously need a quarterback. I think everybody needs a quarterback right now.
You out on Danny? You out on Danny Dimes?
Dimes?
I'm not sold. I mean, to take it all the way, I don't think he's going to be the guy.
You got a trip.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough right now. We're in a tough situation, dog. We're looking at, we got Saquon, but, you know, he's been injured the last couple of years. He's like the guy we're really banking on. He's been banged up. So, I don't know, man. I would love to make a trade and get Trey Lance. I know that's not what they talk about, but I like Trey Lance a lot. Mm. My favorite guy in the draft. So that would be the move. But I know that's not what they said.
And wait, what? Do you know what pick the Giants got? Yeah, is like, it what? Like eight? I think. Yeah. It's top 10 now. It's top 10, right?
Yeah. We're all picking around the same time. Like,
right. So
that's also crazy. Eagles. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, realistically, for me, nah, yeah, y'all falling apart in Philly, but we just need to get this defense together in Dallas, man. And I think that we can get into it with the Washington football team. You know, I'm not too concerned about the Giants. We know it's a quarterback league. Whoever has the best quarterback is usually the team that'll come out of the division. So I think with Dak, we're in good hands. We just got to find a way to beat the flukiness of Fitzmagic in that wild Redskins defense, and we'll be good. But if we draft Patrick Surtain the second, I think we'll be making the right moves, I think, to say the least.
Yeah, I just want to draft a whole new team for real. Like, I
need a quarterback. Not an option.
Honestly, I'm not sold on Miles Sanders still.
I like Miles Sanders, man. I like Miles Sanders.
I wanted to.
Let's think of Hurts.
You see, the thing is, the organization doesn't want to stick with Hurts. So it's like, as a fan, if I can see that, and he has no one to throw to, he's going to struggle. And once he struggles, they're going to kick him out the door. So it's like,
hey, I ain't even going to hold you. I ain't even going to sit here and cat. Like, I don't even, like, I watch football when playoff time come around. But our division is always a toss-up. It don't matter.
But the thing is, we have too many holes in our ship. So, like, we going to sink. We going to sink to the bottom.
Hey, you never know in this division. It's anybody's division. We're going to be
nine,
and somebody going to win it at 7-9.
Well, they added an extra game. You can't even go 7-9 no more.
What you mean they added an extra game?
It's going to be 17 games.
Yeah.
They added a game?
Yeah, they added a game. Yeah, it's no longer 16, it's 17, and they got rid of a preseason game.
What?
Yeah. It's you can wear single digit numbers now too. You can like do the college style numbers as well.
But you gotta pay. I think you have to buy out your number.
Mm-hmm.
Like on some weird
number now?
Yeah, so like if you're a receiver, you can wear 1, you can wear 2, you can wear 10.
Okay. All right. I might gotta tune in now. I like that.
But you know what's crazy? A lot of people, I've been hearing people say they don't like that though. And I'm like, what's the big deal? It's just
Tom Brady
number.
Like it.
Well, I mean, let's be honest, Tom Brady's Captain America of the NFL. So like, you know, if he says something, everybody's gonna kind of be like, oh, Tom, I can't, whoa. You know, so it is what it is. I wish Tom Brady would come out and say something about Black Lives really mattering. If that was the case, you know, I'd be right there with Tom, but he ain't doing a whole lot of that. But, you know, like I said, I'm excited for the draft. I'm looking forward to it. But before we wrap up and get up out of here, Mitchell, is there anything that you want to – oh, I'm sorry. Whoa. Disrespect. My bad, Alistair.
My bad.
Let me rewind. Reverse. All right. Before we get out of here, Alistair, can you hold me down with the this or that for this week?
Absolutely. As we do every week, we do a bunch of random questions that you're not ready for. And I literally think about them when we're not recording podcasts. So, like, these is what I do all day. So, are you ready?
Yes, indeed.
Let's go. All right, first question. Would you rather go to recess with the recess kids or go on a Kids Next Door mission?
Recess.
Yeah, I feel like I might die on the Kids Next Door mission. They be doing some wild stuff, bro. So, yeah, recess seems a little safer.
All right.
Recess.
Who's a better stoner athlete, Ricky Williams or J.R. Smith?
Yeah.
Iceman Ricky Williams?
I'll say J.R.
Okay.
Yeah, give me JR. Yeah.
I rock with JR. He's just that's my guy. I rock with
now, JR. Used to get crazy freaky when he was in with the Knicks. Uh-huh. So I'm thinking about that.
And Denver JR.
Yeah, oh, and Denver too. So yeah.
JR used to get wild too. Like, yeah.
Yeah, but I feel like the pack became a little bit more relevant for him like a little later. Like, especially when he came out and kind of just admitted it. And everybody was like, all right, like this guy. So yeah, JR.
Next question. Who are you drafting? Bobby Boucher or Julius Campbell? Julius Campbell from Remember the Titans.
Bobby Boucher. Come on, man. Really? You can't go against the water boy. Come on, man. Come on, man.
Better intro song, Full House or Saved by the Bell?
It's all right, because I'm saved by the... What was the Full House song? Everywhere. Yeah, the Full House song is a feel-good track, though.
Yeah, see?
But it'd be anti-black if I picked Full House because there's no black characters on there. So Saved by the Bell. Saved by the Bell is my vote. That's right. It.
Who's a better hooper? Calvin Cambridge or Will Smith? In his Will Smith episode when he's Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Yeah.
Oh, good. Thank you for adding that. Because I was like, well, technically Calvin Cambridge, dude. Because, but also without the shoes, though, he's not nice.
Will Smith was pulling from three-quarter court.
Will Smith was getting busy, though.
He was. Yeah, I might have to go with Will just because it's all natural. He ain't need no assistance.
And that Bel-Air jersey is in the rafters.
Yeah. But Carlton, dog. Carlton came in and tried to be a hater, bro. Nah, man. I'll never forgive him for that, bro.
All right. And last question. Would you rather have a rewind button for your life or a pause button?
Rewind.
That's a good one.
Rewind.
And that concludes this week's This or That. Oh, and
wait, Mitchell ain't answer. He ain't answer.
He said rewind.
I thought you said that was a tough one.
I'll say pause.
Okay. Yeah, see, I don't know, man. I feel like if I pause moments, I still got to come up with a solution. You know what I mean? But you got ample time, yeah. But I feel like I can go through something and just be like, all right, let's just...
I figured it out. And you still fuck up? It's like, I got to do it all over again.
At least I got the luxury to rewind, though. You know what I mean? But
you got to speak against everything.
You got to think, like, if you rewind, you might not be where you are at this moment right now. You might be worse off.
That's true. But you got to risk it for the biscuit. You know, that's the risk I'm willing to take. You know, I was good on the Codename Kids Door missions because they be going in outer space and I don't know about their gadgets and all that. They be kind of fugazi. But Mitchell, before we wrap up, is there anything you want to say to the people? You want to let them know where they can follow you, or if you want to shout anybody out?
You follow me, MogulMitch_ on Instagram, Mitch Pollard, Fit Realtor. That's it, man. I'm out here, you know, serving the community. I'm just trying to make impact, influence. That's really the mission, legacy. Trying to, you know, help my boys, help my brothers to get to another level. Just encourage each other. Push each other. Appreciate what y'all doing. Young black men, you know what I'm saying? Doing something positive. And that's the kind of energy we need to be spreading out here. Okay?
Appreciate it, man. Appreciate it. Alistair, man, do you want to lead the people with your stairs to greatness before we wrap up?
Absolutely. You ready for it? Life is like a pencil. Press, press, press. And so it's dull. Don't forget to sharpen yourself up. You can follow me on IG. Stairs to greatness. Stairs to greatness. Make sure you follow our podcast page, AMB Period Podcast. Everybody who tunes in for the This or That's on Thursday, y'all really be turning up, and I love it. Like, I love it. Much appreciated. Warms my heart. And everybody who supports us, appreciated. Everybody who reaches out to me and individually has a conversation with me about the podcast, thank you. Because it makes me feel like we got to keep going and that we ain't stopping. There's no brake lights. As I always say, you guys are the... now I'm choking.
Yeah, you're on a roll. You were literally on a roll, bro. What happened?
Wait, no. You guys are the wheels. We're the vehicle. We're not going anywhere.
There we go.
Cool. Got it.
Perfect.
You co-host.
As always, I don't have anything profound to say. I just like all my brothers and sisters out there to check out that Dr. Umar interview. You can ignore some of the things that he said about interracial dating because I don't necessarily all the way agree. I mean, you love who you love like that. It don't matter what color you are. But he has some other interesting things to say about us as a community and as a people. So when you get a chance, sift through some of the nonsense, check it out. You can follow me on social media. Instagram, Kofi Bryce, KofiBryce_. Twitter, Young Tamarack, YoungTamarack. And without further ado, you're going to hear music from artists that we are tapped into or that is local. And this week you're going to be hearing Mars Bodega, Crazy Story. This has been another week of the A&B Podcast. Peace.
We out.
I met this shorty out of town. She was standing like 5'6". Nice thighs, right size with the brown skin. A little small talk, you know the usual. Smile complimenting her style, the shit was beautiful. She said, I like your eyes. We chopped it up for a minute. I asked her for a number, invited her out to dinner. She said she had a man, but asked me if I had Twitter. And normally I laugh, but fuck it, I had to get her. So I followed her, she said that she would follow back. Said goodbye, then turned to leave, then almost doubled back. In my head like, damn, her man don't know what to do with that. Take her, tell her she can have it all, I'll be cool with that. So caught up, infatuated, forgot to ask her name. Damn, I felt so fucking stupid, attraction was to blame. Figured I would hit her later, try to spark conversation. Then lean back up with my man T, he was tired of waiting. Told him about the little shorty that I met. Told him she was cute and not the type you could forget. Decided to hit the bar the last night before we stepped. Drinking, laughing, having the ball. Back this shorty to my left, she was lit. Asked her what's her name, she said just call her Chris. Short for Crystal, she was from the Berg and went to Pitt. Her and her sister here on vacation to the temper. Sister nigga like to beat her but won't leave him, she was sick. I'm like, damn, well, this my last night. My flight leave in the morning, let's chat when you get home. She said that sounded boring, so we went back to the telly. We fucking, I got her moaning. Her phone blowing up, she telling me keep on going. We wake up in the morning, my stupid ass missed the flight. She finally checked her phone, her sister called her her night. She like, you can text me later, got a jet. Schedule my next flight, 4 p.m., I was set. To my surprise, I got a new DM. When I checked, it was shorty from the store. She like, oh yeah, my name Yvette. I'm here till the weekend, let's do lunch if you ain't left. I'm like, bet, fuck a flight. Then I started getting dressed. Told T I catch him when I finally touched down. Time to link with shorty, it was almost lunch now. Pulled up in the Uber, I was so vexed. Shorty hourglass body in a sundress. Had shrimp over lobster, shorty ordered pasta. Too many problems with a man, so she had to drop him. Talking couldn't help but fill her, I met no umbrella. Got to talking about a sister, shit seemed so familiar. It hadn't hit me that I heard this story once before. I was caught up straight in bliss that I met this chick. She said her sister husband knocked her out and broke her chin. Before I put it all together.
I don't know if I ever mentioned it, her name's Chris.